God.
Hear these words as we read from the book of John, chapter 11, beginning with verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said this, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. This is totally unscripted.
Yes, it is.
So, you and this whole congregation know how much I love to pick on you because I know it gets to you. And I know what buttons to push. Correct?
Correct.
I just want to say this. You do such a fabulous job leading the choir in this congregation, both in the congregational singing and in the specials. And I've heard y'all practice this special before on Wednesday night, and you nailed it. Congratulations. Receive your accolades. How many of you know who Delbert is? I guess I need to tell more stories about Delbert. So Delbert and his wife were sitting in their living room. And I say living room. I don't guess that's where you do this. They were at home. And his wife had purchased all of these new cosmetics that's supposed to make you look young and beautiful and vibrant, you know, miracle stuff. And as she sat there putting it on and fixing her hair and just la-di-da-ing, she looked around and said, "Delbert, does this make me look younger?" Delbert looked at her. And he thought for a second. He said, "Well, Betty Lou," that's what he called her because that's what her name was. He said, "Your skin looks like you're 20. Your hair, 18. And your figure, about 25. And she smiled and she kind of blushed a little bit. And she said, "Oh, you're so sweet." He goes, "Wait a minute, I haven't added the numbers up yet." There's an old saying, when you get through digging the hole, quit digging. Miracles. We love and live to see miracles happen, right? Because that's something that shows us that God is moving and working in our lives, whether it's the church's life or our individual lives. We want to see a miracle. Even more so, we would love to see a miracle happen to us, right? I mean, wouldn't you love to have a miracle happen in your life? Have you ever received a miracle in your life? We've all received miracles, some of us more so than others. But we've all received a miracle in one way or another. Whether it's something that has happened to us or something that's happened to someone else or an answered prayer or hearing God's voice or seeing God work in the majesty of His creation. Our scripture text today is a famous one. It's about the rising of Lazarus from the dead. We all know the backstory of it, but I'll give you a really quick Reader's Digest version. So Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Jesus was really, really, really good friends with them. And he and his disciples were off and they were doing ministry, and word came to him that Lazarus was sick. And so Jesus sent back, "I'll be there." And then he stuck around where he was for a couple more days. In the meantime, Lazarus died. So on his way to Lazarus and Martha and Mary's home, he's met a distance out by Martha. And he says, "Go get Mary." And she goes and gets Mary. And so now we have this whole conglomerate at the tomb of Lazarus. And Martha makes a comment, "Lord, if you would have been here sooner, this wouldn't have happened." And Jesus says, "Roll away the stone." And Martha's expression then was, "Woo, wait a minute. Okay, Jesus, you remember and you realize he's been dead for 4 days. This is not going to be good." And Jesus, without missing a beat, says, "Martha, do you believe that I can do something?" And Martha says, "Oh, I believe. I believe." And Jesus said, "Witness a miracle from God." So I got to thinking this week about this text. What do we have to do in order to receive a miracle in our lives? Do what? Believe. Y'all know what a miracle is? I'll read you what the definition of a miracle is. Miracles are defined as an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. So there's three things that we have to do. Number one, believe. Somebody has got to believe that God is going to perform a miracle in our lives. Somebody. Either the person that it's happening to, a person who is ministering to that person, or someone who is praying for that particular event. Somebody has to believe that God is going to act in our lives. And Martha did. Martha said, "I believe. I believe." And she experienced the miracle that day. The second thing is that we must act. We have to act. Mary is a good example when she makes a comment to those that are standing around, and that is, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. If you think about the miracles that were performed in Scripture, there was always an action that had to be done. The leper, go and bathe yourself 7 times in the pool of Siloam. The 10 lepers, go and show yourself. There's always an act. So, here's the thing. So, how many of you want to see a miracle in your life today? Raise your hand. Some of y'all don't. Y'all may be in the wrong spot. So the first thing you have to do is you have to believe, right? How many of you believe? The second thing is you have to act. How many of you are going to act? Oh, I'm glad y'all did that. So if Jesus tells you to stand up, you're going to stand up. If He tells you to raise your hands and dance, you're going to raise your hands and dance. If He... I had to go there after what you said today in the office. It doesn't matter if we're Methodist or Pentecostal. If God tells us to do it, we've got to do it. You've got to act. And sometimes that's where we kind of mess up that miracle. Because we don't want to act in a particular way. Whether it's to go in this direction or to do this or to do that. I am a perfect example of how you act doesn't matter to anybody but God. Because if God tells you to do this or do that, we need to do this or do that. Otherwise, we put a hamper and a stop on that miracle in our lives, right? Okay, so we got to believe. We've got to act. And you got to refuse to doubt. We have to refuse to doubt. Two buddies were hunting, and one was always bragging about how good a shot he was. So they were duck hunting. And they're sitting there in the blind, and here comes a duck. He raises that shotgun. Boom! And the duck just keeps flying. The guy looks over at his buddy. He says, "Brother, you have just witnessed a miracle. There flies a dead duck." We got to refuse to doubt. We've got to know that it may not be in our time that we experience that miracle in our lives, but God is going to perform a miracle in your life in His time. Because it's not about glorifying you, it's about glorifying Him. Lazarus had been sick and dying, and Jesus never moved until after his death. And it was not to glorify himself. It was not to glorify Lazarus. But it was to glorify God, because God was the one performing that miracle. If we are going to experience miracles in our lives, in our church, and in our country, and in the whole world, we've got to believe that God is going to do something. Without a doubt. We've got to act upon what He tells us to do, even though we might not feel comfortable doing it. And we've got to refuse to doubt. We've got to know that God is going to do it. If God said it, He's going to do it. Because since eternity started, I don't remember God ever lying about anything. And if he says, I've got something planned for your life and it's going to be a miracle, you can take that to the bank. So in the days, the weeks, the months, the years to come, if we position ourselves to receive a miracle or the miracle God has planned for our lives, no matter what the circumstance might be, we have to stand in faith, we have to obey His instructions, and we have to refuse to doubt. And I promise you that God will perform a miracle in your life. How do I know that? How can I guarantee that? Really, really easy. That said so. And if that said so, it's the truth. Prepare your lives today for the miracle that God has planned for you. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, what a blessing it is to have you in our lives. Father, we are totally amazed at what you do. We're blown away when we see how you interact in our lives. Father, we come before you right now expecting that miracle that you have planned for us. Help us to believe strongly that you can move mountains. Help us to act upon where you send us and call us. And help us to never doubt you. Because when we do those things, we will receive a miracle. Father, we pray all of this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.